Jesus' name, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for clarity as touching the leading of the Spirit and how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, O Lord Jesus, that this teaching is coming also with a grace to cause us to be knowledgeable in responding to the lead of the Spirit, as touching every aspect of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have you all this evening again. And I like the fact that we are very open to the 5 p.m. prayer session and the 10 p.m. That's good. It's good for us as a people. And for the 5 p.m. prayer session, as I said, I have a very strong lead on touching on things of the Spirit and how, I mean, we're going to narrow in down on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You would get to realize that situations happen to believers, and you find out that people question, oh, why did this happen? You know? And it seems as though nobody had the answer of why it happened. Or you find a believer get into situations that makes it questionable, as though they never believed in God. As I said, these are one of the very foundational topics, you know, any believer could get their hands on. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, nobody ever can knock their chest fully and say they have mastered it. Because we never get to master it, in quotes. We always seem to learn from the experience that we have. However, we get better, you know, at it. And as foundational as it can be, it's important that we all get to at least start to walk in this reality of being led. For some of us, we've been led, but we didn't even know it was what we call leading. So, as part of our year for more, the Spirit of God deems it very important that we deal with this subject matter, and then we come to a full understanding of it. And we should not just deal with it, get to know that it exists, but we should learn to yield to whatever it is God's Spirit leads us to do. So it's not enough to just know that the believer is led by the Holy Spirit, but it's for him to put into practice what he has known. So when we can find out practical situations where you are led by the Spirit of God. I shared with you a very strong time in my life where I would have lost my mom if not for the leading of the Spirit. It was not an audible voice. It was not an inward voice. It was not an authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. It was just a lead to pray. And at that point in time, my mom was dying. Yeah, I believe she would have died, but for the leading of the Spirit. I've had somebody tell me that I just woke up and I had this, they call it thing on my heart to pray for so, so and so. This is a real life story. She wakes up, she tells me, and she says it happened for quite a while, not knowing that there was something up ahead. Now, the leading of the Spirit is just not for bad situations in quotes. It's also for God to lead you into places where you ought to be. Right? So in Romans 8:16, or he leads you in what you have to do, leads you in what you have to say, how you have to say what you have to say. Leadings are in very little things and major things. It's not just in the major things, they're in the little things as well. So we can receive leadings in minor and major issues. But from yesterday, I made us understand that we have been looking at the fact that the Spirit of God is how we are going to be led. It's via the Spirit we are going to be led. In Romans 8:14, we got to see how that man is led by the Spirit of God, and that qualifies him to be a son of God. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So they are the ones who are of God. In Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Right? The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. And I said that the spirit of a man that's a candle of the Lord is... Okay, let me explain that in a few minutes. But we know that the candle is a source of light. And so what Solomon is trying to communicate is that our spirits, inhabited by the Holy Spirit, is going to be led. We're going to be led. We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit in our spirits. So, just as candle gives light in darkness, our spirits are going to be the source, or our spirits is going to be the source to which God is going to lead us. Remember, it's our spirits inhibited, right, by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit inhibits in our spirits. So you can get to realize that there are quite a number of ways that God can use to communicate his plan, his purpose, his intent to man. He can do that through the inward voice, through the voice of the Holy Spirit. We could receive God's leading and guidance via the revelatory gifts, seeing, knowing, prophecies. You know, but there is a primary way that God leads every believer. And that's what I want us to, you know, to master. Not mastering as in where we become, the best in quotes. But there is an expertise we must have when it comes to responding to the leading of the Spirit in the inward witness. So, we're going to pay attention to this in this year. I had a story, I don't like to share it, I'm not going to call the person's name, but there's this famous man of God that got caught up in a flight accident and then he died. But research into the case shows that just before he took the flight, he spoke to his wife and said, "Honey, I feel I should not get on this plane." But there was no response. So there is no way that we are going to be disadvantaged when we learn to follow God's lead, we're going to see our ministries increase. We're going to see our disciples increase, because we'll be led in major issues. We'll be led in minor issues. We're going to see our lives become better. We're going to see our businesses flourish. We're going to see everything that concerns us do well. I told you that I'm always grateful for this mode through which God leads us. And that's what I'm going to explain to us during these 5 p.m. sessions. So we're going to be narrowing in. We're not going to be looking at the inward voice. We're not going to be looking at the voice of the Holy Spirit, the audible voice. We're going to look at the inward witness. And anytime I state or I use this phrase, what I call it, the phrase, the inward witness, I remember Kenneth Hagin. In fact, Kenneth Hagin is where it all starts from. And then, you know, we're very grateful to God for such a gift as him. So we're going to be looking at the inward witness as a primary way that God leads the believer. You see, sometimes it's not that complicated or difficult. We are praying, trusting God for a very supernatural vision. We want to see an angel. We want to have some shaking happen in our rooms so that we can get to know God is talking to us. We want to have sort of like a descending of a spirit experience where we see Jesus walking to our room and we talk with Jesus for 72 hours and we are caught up in a vision and we are having a communication with Jesus, and then we come out and we say we saw Jesus and his hair was color blonde, his legs were pierced with nails. Now, as good as all of those things are quite the spectacular side of it. Kenneth Hagin shares an experience where Jesus comes to him, which I believe in because it's very consistent with the word of God. You know, Jesus walks into him and shows him a few things and tells him that, see, this is the last time I'll be speaking to you in this manner, because every believer is going to be led by the inward witness. And from then he never had a similar vision. He has a book on visions. He had major visions and he captures those visions. But you see, the believer is not supposed to be hungry in a negative sense to have a descending of spirit experience before they get to know that God is actually talking to them. And I put it to you, God leading via the inward witness is as supernatural as he leading you via Jesus himself appearing to you. It's just that we like to place premium on the things that are spooky, the things that are, you know, quite interesting to deal with. But God leading us via the inward witness is as supernatural as God showing you a 72-hour vision. It's as supernatural as that. You see, even when it comes to your personal life, you can be led by the Spirit via the inward witness into the most perfect stature you would ever want yourself assuming into. Now, am I despising the place of visions? No, I don't. Am I despising the place of the audible voice and hearing him audibly? No, I don't. Am I despising the place of, you know, the inward voice? No, I'm not. But I'm telling you that God is going to be primarily leading all of us through the inward witness. Now, we're going to pay attention to some Old Testament scriptures. Old Testament, not in the sense that they are old, but I mean, with respect to how the Bible was canonized, they were characterized as old. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and to 20. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 to 20. These teachings will bless you. Don't play with it. Yes, don't play with it. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 to 20. Okay, so I think we should hold on with the comments. Thank you so very much. He says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel, as a prophet, is prophesying a reality of our present day believer, or of the present day believer. And he says that God is going to put a new spirit within. Don't forget the emphasis, within or within. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. All right, so then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Pay attention, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of flesh, out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you. So you see, the spirit in Ezekiel 11:19 is within. The spirit, as spoken of Ezekiel 36, verse 25, is within. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now let's go to Ezekiel 37, verse 1-5. Ezekiel 37, verse 1-5. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you. It's ruach. New Testament pneuma. In you. The Spirit of God is going to be in you. And that Spirit within you is going to come to life. It will quicken the mortal body, and it will cause the mortal body to come to life. Then you will know that I am God. So observe the recurrent emphasis. a spirit within. The spirit within cause you to walk in my statuses. I will put my breath in and you will come to life. Now, this actually implies that God promised his spirit, number one. Then he promised the spirit within. Now, there's another conversation that we'll have with the spirit upon and what it does. So there's a spirit within, then there's a spirit upon. Then there is a spirit that is amongst us. So we're going to look at those two pretty later. But we're looking at the spirit within, right? So he put his spirit, in fact, it is from within that we take from within and we put it upon. So there's a spirit that is within. That's why you see in Proverbs 27, it says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So, the candle is that shining light. What gives clarity? What gives direction? What gives exactedness? It gives an exactedness to a certain, to happenings, to situations. It's able to tell you exactly, or he's able to tell you exactly what he wants you to do. So the spirit is going to be put within. Now, that spirit within is the candle of the Lord, that which gives clarity, that which gives direction, that which shines light on situations. So, what I'm trying to say, based on what God's word is telling us, is that the leading of God's spirit is within the spirit. Now, the spirit is what gives the guidance, the direction, God's leading. And where is it going to be happening from? From within. So you see that sometimes people say, I want to hear God. I want to hear God. Say, God should speak to us. But they never knew that what they are looking for is not supposed to be an external voice, external experience, external leading. Rather, it's supposed to come from within. It's an internal voice. It's an internal leading. It's an internal response of God's Spirit. So, the inward witness, you're going to be looking forward to experiencing that from within. I had to show you these few scriptures just so you will cue your mind from getting to say that it's from without. No, it's not from without. It's from within. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you from within. After you have prayed, after you have studied, from within. After you have worshipped, from within. After you spend time having a quiet time, from within. The leading of God's Spirit is going to be from within. And that's why it's the inward witness. I'll look at that maybe tomorrow. The witness, we might look at that tomorrow. Witness. So, it's an inward witness. You know, a witness is somebody that attests to a fact. Right? So, if there are no facts presented to it, then it means that there could also be not an attestation of the spirit within to the facts that are presented to it. But that's just by the way. I'll show you practical examples how that we will be able to be led this way within. That's why the believer should not, you know, make very dangerously wrong decisions. Well, there's some wrong decisions that maybe you are not listening, but there are some decisions that you have to pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying from within. So, the Spirit of God will abide in man. In man. This year, you're going to pay attention to the inward witness. Never be caught in surprises. You actually should never be caught in surprises, because we have God's Spirit. Glory to God. Let's have like three more scriptures and then we'll be out of here. I just came to tell you that yesterday we looked at how that the Spirit of God was a candle of the Lord. I mean, the Spirit was a candle of the Lord, and how that we are supposed to know that we are going to be led by our spirits. Today we laid out some emphasis more on the same conversation, looking at more scriptures on the same fact. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In. That's why when you are very noisy, you hardly have responses from in. You're always talking. You hardly have responses from in. But the leading is going to come from in. Oh. If you were paying attention, you would have known that that person was not the right person to have that deal with. You would have known that that person was not the right person to talk to. You would have known, as the days go, to become clear, let me not go ahead of myself. You would have known that that person was not the right person. You would have known that place was not the place you should have gone. You would have known that the person you called was the wrong person to have called. Because you never listened to the in. You listened to the without. What your mind is telling you. What the soul is saying. The reasonings. The logical thinkings. And all of those things are the things that you consider. But not again. 1 Corinthians 6:17. We're going to read to somewhere. One Spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Is in you. Is in you. Have you got into situations and the facts are all right? Things are all fine. It proves naturally okay. But just on the inside, there's a witness, a leading. Like, not this. Not this. Not this place. You are talking to the wrong person. You are in the wrong place. But many times we don't listen. We just throw it all out. But not after this teaching. We're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. And where is he going to be leading us from? Within. Are you listening? Within. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that we are led by your Spirit in all circumstances, situations we find ourselves. Let me tell you something before I go. See, you don't need to be called into the office of the prophet to get things and to pick up things in the realm of the Spirit concerning very crucial issues that, you know, surrounds your life. You don't need to be. I teach you to hear, but this one I'm talking about is how you are going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yes. I remember one time I shared the story with somebody, and there was somebody who got stuck at a bus station, and 3 days prior to that, I started receiving this lead that you need to get to this person. You need to get to this person. You need to get to this person. 2 days, I didn't respond. The day, I didn't respond. The time and the period that the person was stuck, I remember just being there and I was like, there's something I need to do. And I got to this person. This person was in tears. Say, how did you know that I was stuck here? I was led by the Spirit of God. I was led by the Spirit of God. And that's how come some of you are saying, Pastor is very timely. Pastor calls at the right time. Pastor does this at the right time. I just did this and this. It's all the lead. And that's what I'm going to be teaching you. Because some of you receive those leadings, but it's very difficult to like sort of respond. And so things pass you by and you don't know that he's the one, you know, like leading you in those situations. So after this teaching, you're going to be led. In fact, you are led, but it's just that you are probably not learning to yield. So after this teaching, you're going to be learning to yield to the leading of the Spirit that you already receive. In Jesus' name. Like I said, these sessions will not only come with teachings. They will come with a grace to cause you to be strongly led by the Holy Spirit. I was telling a few people who came around today, who are around today, and I was showing them a picture on how that the Lord led me out of my house around 12, almost 1 a.m. And he led me to a place and he showed me the place. I got into there. The place was packed with chairs and I saw camp. And that was how the Lord actually started speaking. But the real experience was a leading. I never heard an audible voice. I never heard something out of the blue. No, it's just on my heart. You need to leave your house now. 12 a.m. Leave my house to where? You will not get a car. Where are you going? You won't get a car. My house after 12, after 9:30, you are hot. So it just comes in. You're not supposed to be here. Supposed to be here, okay? I know this thing. Is that you are not supposed to be here. Where am I supposed to be? Well, I don't know. You just have to leave. So I just gather myself up. 12 a.m. I see there was something happening. I leave. Where am I going? I don't know. I receive a lead in my heart. Just sensing. You need to be here. I get in there. I open the place. God is already speaking. In this year, you're going to learn to be yielding to God's Spirit. Some of you, things that you are struggling with, they will become easy. Because now you will receive leadings of the Holy Spirit. You will receive leads of the Holy Spirit. You will be led into things, led out of things. And some of you will be led out of things. You need to be led out of things. Some of you need to be led into things. In Jesus' name. There will be clarity as touching the inward witness. And that's how come we will all not be disadvantaged. Never. It can be. So we're going to be continuing our conversation on how to be led by the Spirit, of which we were taking some time to look at the inward witness. So I said there are various ways to which the Lord can lead, but there is a very primary way that He leads us. In Romans 8:14 and then Romans 8:16 makes us understand how that those who are sons of God are going to be led by the Spirit. And in Romans 8:16, how that the Spirit Himself actually cannot be itself, KJV, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. So I said there are diverse ways in which God leads us. He could lead us through the inward voice, through the voice of the Holy Spirit, leading or giving guidance via revelatory gifts. But we're going to be looking at the primary way that God's going to lead His children or His sons. And we said that we are going to be talking about the inward witness. Yesterday we spent some time considering how that God put His Spirit on the inside of us. And so we're going to be experiencing leadings in the inward witness within, not without. So in Ezekiel 11:19, Ezekiel 36:25, Ezekiel 37:1-6, we saw how that God was going to put His Spirit within. And so, if His Spirit is within, then it means that we have received the promise within. The leading is going to come from within. Don't forget that. Proverbs 20:27, we got to see that the Spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Right? So the Spirit is what illuminates darkened parts. That's what God uses to illuminate our darkened parts. So it means that if you don't pay attention to the Spirit, within, there's going to be trouble. You're going to catch yourself being at the wrong place, doing the wrong things, getting yourself involved in the wrong activities, you know, stepping into the wrong business deals. I got to know somebody and the person was duped badly. And I felt sorry for the person. How couldn't you know? Well, it happens, but it just means that you never listened. Yes, you never listened. If you ask this person in-depthly, you see that the person will tell you that, even when I was doing it, today I'll explain that to you to become more clear. We'll just take it in bits. Because I want us to master this. Master this not in a stand where we are braggadocious about it, but we have and we can say we know the leading of the Spirit. It's like there's an experience to it, right? So it is with this you're going to be saved. It's with this you're going to make decisions. And yes, I came to tell you this evening, it's with this you become rich. It's with this you know what to do. It's with this you know what location it is to find yourself. It's with this you know who to say yes and who to say no to. It's with this you know what business deal to sign and what business deal not to sign. It's with this. So you're going to pay attention in the teachings. And via the teachings, there's going to be clarity in every aspect of our life. So I gave us this very strong hint that the Spirit of God is going to be leading from within. From within. It's going to be inward. I taught on not neglecting the help of the Holy Spirit, or not neglecting God's help. Right? So we're going to be swimming in those conversations to and back, getting to know that when it comes to even the inward witness, it is still the Holy Spirit, right, involved. So you just can't take him out. But like I said, I don't want to have any extremes, and I don't want to text you, Holy Spirit, darling boy, but those things are nonsense. Yeah? You shouldn't have those conversations. The Holy Spirit is not your darling boy. He's not. Right? So you need to know how to handle whatever it is that has been taught you very well, so that you don't find yourself become very light on it. I told you about some extremes, saying Holy Spirit said I should wear this today, Holy Spirit said I should wear this tomorrow, Holy Spirit said I should wear this today, Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit said. Why did God give you a brain? He should have given you the Holy Spirit alone and not giving you a brain. So he gives you a brain so you can know what to wear. That's not the Holy Spirit's responsibility. If there was any reason why the Holy Spirit was giving, is so that he would help you do the will of the Father. He brings to your remembrance the things that God has said. He reminds you of the Word of God. Say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And many times when you find somebody who is becoming very stubborn, they throw in the Holy Spirit. Pastor says they should do something. They say the Holy Spirit said. Which Holy Spirit says something at the expense of what Pastor has said? In fact, if there's a Holy Spirit that is actually true, he should be saying exactly what Pastor is saying. So you must be careful of some of these extremes. I was speaking to someone, and I asked the person, do you know God's voice than me? I just wanted to ask the person. And I've asked quite, are you telling me you know God's voice than me? Right? So you don't grow to that point where you now start to have your own leading and call it the Holy Spirit. Now I will get you out. Once I get to realize you have a spirit that is different from the spirit which we all flow with, you are not supposed to be here. We're supposed to fish you out as a dangerous person. Because before the Holy Spirit would speak to you, he would have spoken to your pastor about it. So that's the balance I also want to ensure we're having, so that we don't veer off into extremes. Where are you going? The Holy Spirit said I should go. But you didn't tell me. Yes, the Holy Spirit said I should go. Which Holy Spirit passes his pastor without informing them? When God himself has set you over your pastor, and then you say the Holy Spirit said you should go. So those are quite some extremes on some of these things that we should pay attention to, so that we don't become people who use the Holy Spirit's tasks to be rebellious against instructions that have been given us, and against things that have been said to us, and against instructions that have been told us to do. So if it's the Holy Spirit, it's going to fall in sync with whatever it is that's going on with whoever it is that has been set over you. Do you understand? So I wouldn't want to have those extremes. Everywhere you pass, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit said to me that I should go and do this. But we told you that when you're about to do something, inform so and so. You say the Holy Spirit. Which spirit is that? That cannot be the Holy Ghost. We know the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? So as I teach you on some of these topics, we're going to put everything in its right place. It's like you're going to put everything in its right place. then we can blossom, we can flourish, we can do all that there is to do that God has called us to do. And so, I thought I had to correct that so that we don't have any surprises. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, which Holy Spirit? Which Holy Spirit is that? Holy Spirit is leading you against the word of your pastor. Which Holy Spirit is that? That's pretty dangerous a spirit to have. So we're going to be paying attention to this fact that the Holy Spirit is within, right? It's not without. He is within. Don't forget that. He is within. It's not without. He is within. It means that if we're going to be receiving leading of the Spirit in the inward witness, it's going to come from within. Now, how is it going to come? Are these withins going to come with light flashes within? Are they going to come with somebody standing there and kicking your stomach within? Like, Pastor, wait. What is wrong? Tell us. Pastor, my stomach is doing the Holy Spirit. You should check. Maybe you are pregnant. In Jesus' name, we cancel premature pregnancies. In Jesus' name, nobody will fall into any pregnancy. In Jesus' name. So don't go and do anything that warrants a pregnancy. I've told someone like that, a couple of people. Me, if you do anything pertaining to pregnancy, you will give birth to the baby. Don't tempt me. I don't even think about it. Secondly, yeah, you give birth to the child and will ordain the child as a Christ family baby. So if you go and do anything, you see the way I'm saying it, they are laughing. Just be laughing. And you come and say that, Pastor, I'm too this. I'm in my this. I don't have conversations like that. You will give birth to the child. So anything that happens, the child will be born. Yes, and I unashamedly say that. So I'm telling all of you in advance that if you don't just come to test or do something to check whether I'll tell that, okay, it's a very wise thing for what. No, me, I don't do that. You give birth to a child. We hear that a child is a fetus and is forming. You're going to commit suicide. And we don't commit suicide. We don't join people to handle blood. So, what is this emotion going to... I've said it again. So all the people who are around me will know my stance on some of these issues, is that you will give birth to the child. Yes, you give birth to the child. Yes. I mean, there are other pharmaceutical means, 72 hours of whatever you do, say that you have to use a contraception. That one, the child is not. But if you do anything, you have a baby, yes, you give birth to the child. 5 months, the child will be there. You will not grow fat. You will not grow lean. You'll be menstruating. Everything will be flowing. And the child will be there. So we don't go and do anything. Let's all follow God patiently. Yeah, I dealt with a case like that. The child was there 5 months, flowing. Everything was happening. No bump, nothing. And the baby was there. Yes. And they went to check. The baby was healthy. Yes, the baby was healthy. Healthy, complete. No bump. Please, let me not shift away from my teaching. So, how are these leadings going to occur? Are they going to be something hitting your stomach? I said that one is pregnancy. That one is pregnancy. He said, Pastor, please, I didn't do anything. Then second Jesus. We're waiting for a second Jesus. He said, Pastor, I swear to God. I never. Then we have to wait for the second Jesus. We'll name him a Christ family Jesus. So don't do anything stubborn. I'm just saying that to you. If you are listening to me, listen to what I'm telling you. Christ family in Jesus. You see me holding him on the altar like this. We are happy. That's what we had. So, in Jesus' name, it will not happen. It's cancelled. In Jesus' name. So, are these, what do you call it, emotions going to be bumpy? Is that going to feel your leg shaking? No. Right? So, I told you that God's going to be working in a man, right? And how he's going to be doing this is that it's going to be from within. It's going to be from within. So, now what is going to be from within? Right? There are going to be spirit-inspired emotions from within. Now, pay attention, because I'll create some divergence from emotions that are of the soul and of the spirit. It's going to be clearer. So, there are going to be spirit-inspired emotions. Now, one of the things I want you to pay attention to is that every time God leads via his spirit within, it's going to be concerning his plan and purpose in the earth, his plan and purpose in a situation, his plan and purpose in anything. I'll take that again. God's leading from within via spirit-inspired emotions, which is of the spirit. Remember, I told you that a man who believes in Jesus has a recreated spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the meaning of recreation is that the Holy Spirit comes to make his abode in your spirit. And that's how the prophet Ezekiel is telling us that, you know, I will take away the stony hearts and I will put in them hearts of flesh. Now, he uses hearts because heart is almost like the central being of a man. That's the central part of a man. So, anytime, you know, the Old Testament made references to the central part. When we say something is central, it means it's from there all other activities proceed forth. You see, the central city of Ghana. It means when you get to that city, it's from there you find other things happening. So when you say something is central, it means it's key in that. Right? So he says, I will take their stony hearts and I will put in them hearts of flesh. That's the recreated man. It means he has an identity that causes him to act, to will everything that God wills and will do in any situation. Right? So, it's central. The spirit. So, God's going to be leading from within concerning his work, his purpose in all the earth, in situations. Now, what happens is that it means that these spirit-inspired emotions, okay, they are going to be channeled towards God's will in the earth, in every situation. You see, God has a will for everything in your life. Don't let anybody tell you that there are some things that he leaves to you to choose vaguely. Now, if you are his, he has a way of wanting you to do what you want to do. So, God has a will concerning your school. He has a will concerning your academics. He has a will concerning your relationships. He has a will concerning your growth. He has a will concerning everything. And his will is his way, which is his word. Do you see that? So what does God's will say concerning what you are going to do? That is going to be his way. How he wants you to do it is how he wills that you do it. So you get to realize that these spirit-inspired emotions are going to be channeled towards God's will in the earth. It's going to be channeled towards God's will in situations. Now, I told you yesterday what a witness is. When you say someone is a witness, the person attests to a certain fact. Like when you go to the law court, how many lawyers are here? Could you call in if you're a lawyer? You could give us a good explanation of what a witness is in the law court, using law terms and using law explanations. Just call in. A witness. A witness. Hey, this one to take another second. Be bold, eh? Oh, there's nobody here. There's no lawyer here. They are all running away. So someone who attests to a fact, right? There's somebody who attests to the fact of a reality. So we're talking about the inward. See, inward is going to be inward. It's going to be inward. Inward. Somebody who bears testimony to something. It bears testimony. Say, one time, something happened. I heard the story. Someone shot someone or something. Someone was beating someone. Something. It was either a shooting case or a beating case. But there was somebody who was in the next house who saw the instance. So they wanted to get the guy to come and witness or attest to the beating or to the shooter. He said, no, he's not going to be a witness. He doesn't want to be a witness to that. He does not want to say he saw or he was. So when you take witnesses to law courts, see, they'll ask you, did you say that you saw so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? What does the witness say? Yes, I did. Or, I didn't see. Now, I can tell you, I've been teaching this not for long, but I believe this is one of my best teachings on the inward witness. Right? So, I don't want you to miss it. I believe that God is doing something with you, and God wants you to come to the understanding of whatever it is that I'm teaching you. So, I want you to be able to flow with whatever it is I'm teaching you. So the witness stands there and says, yes. Did you steal what? No. Right? Now this yes or no, I'm telling you, is not going to be in audible voices. They are going to be responses that are spirit inspired towards the particular situation. Now, don't forget, the emphasis is that God's leading will concern his work, his purpose, right? In the earth. They will concern God's will and God's purpose in situations, in happenings. So it means that you're going to learn to pay attention to these spirit-inspired. Remember, I'm not talking about soul-inspired. I'll explain that maybe tomorrow. Or if you, how you can separate the two, because they are also sort of emotions that are of the soul. Like you are reasoning something, then you start to feel in a way that you are reasoning towards. No, that's not what I'm talking about. These ones, just as the soulish man has sensory perceptions, the spirit man also has these sensory perceptions. But we're going to be capitalizing on the spirit led or spirit inspired emotions. Remember, it's God's leading, spirit inspired in emotions towards God's plan and purpose of the earth. Now, it's also going to be God's plan and purpose towards situations, happenings. So it's all in all. All right. So let's look at the first spirit inspired emotion from God's word. Remember, God's plan and purpose is in the earth and in every other situation. Does God want the earth saved? Yes, he does. Does he want men healed? Of course he does. That's God's plan and purpose in the earth. That's what he's doing in the earth. That's what God is doing in the earth. So we're going to look at a couple of spirit-inspired emotions. So that when you start getting those emotions, you understand what God is leading you into. Now that becomes his lead. That becomes what he wants you to do. That becomes how he wants you to respond in the situation. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. I think we're going to look at just this. And then we'll keep looking at them over and over and over and over again. So, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Now, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. So Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. That is spirit-inspired emotion. Remember, it is towards God's will on the earth. Towards God's will in this. If he didn't see, he would not have a witness to it. That means he would not be led to doing something about the situation. So he looks at these people. He looks at these people and he's moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Sees them and is moved. Have you looked on someone and you're moved with compassion before? It's not soulish. It's right from within. Right from within. But you would just say that, oh, it was just something. No. Jesus is looking upon them and he is moved with compassion. Why? Because they fainted and they were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. There's something troubling, something worrying, something disturbing. These people were as sheep without a shepherd. Now that compassion there is a spirit inspired emotion. Sometimes it could be, you know, okay, in this context, it was towards people who had no sheep, they had no shepherd. Then remember what happens. It moves him, who happens to be Jesus, to tell the disciples to pray. So it means that that spirit-inspired emotion, which was compassion, was toward prayer. Compassion was towards prayer. Sometimes there could be compassion towards doing good. And they are spirit-inspired emotions. They are God leading you to react as though He was there, or He was present, or He was in the place. So today I'm teaching you. There are many. And I'm going to take my time to go through all of them so that it becomes clear. So you see that while many people are looking for a spectacular experience, sometimes they miss out on what is actually supernatural. Because in your mind, Jesus should have seen a vision in Matthew 9, 35 downwards. He should have seen a heart beating with blood flowing through it. Then an angel standing behind the heart with a nine spears. Then he says, "Oh, I see a vision." No, but the only thing we find him do was that he found his heart filled with a lot of compassion. Compassion to meet a need. Compassion to communicate something. Compassion to lead people to pray. Compassion to get people burdened on the fact that the people are scattered. To be scattered is actually a picture that shows wantonness. Like there's something not in its place in your life or in the person's life. So there are times where you will receive spirit-inspired emotions. You must know what to do with it. Because knowing what to do with it becomes now God leading you to act rightly in the situation. You must know what to do with it. So then he now prays, asks them to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's why I told you that as a church, there's not a time that we can be deprived. If everybody learns to yield to the leading of the Spirit in every situation, there's no way. Because when you see somebody and the person has not eaten for 3 days or 2 days or 1 day, the Lord, knowing that you have something to give that fellow, moves you in that compassionate spirit felt or spirit-led emotion that causes you to do something for that person that blesses the person and that helps the person. So, Jesus experiencing a very strong spirit-led emotion, which is actually a witness to what the person is going through. But how that witness is expressed is compassion. Let's see another one in Numbers 27, verses 15 to 17. It's the Spirit of God. Numbers 27, 15 to 17. Have you been there and somebody's thought comes to your mind and you feel like, I really, really need to talk to this person. Or I really need to stay around this person. Or I really need to, I don't know, but I just need to stay around the person. I need to stay around the person. I need to talk to this person. I need to call this person. I need to. So guys, is this compassion towards the fellow? And that compassion leads you to treating the person very different. I'm telling you, God loves us all the same. And He loves all of us. Right? But He deals with us differently. He deals with us differently. Sometimes there's somebody that's doing something and you just feel like, Or maybe you might just say, let me just leave the person. If the person will get it, fine. If the person doesn't get it too, fine. I mean, anything is fine. We're fine with anything. Then you go back. Then there's this drawing of your heart to make sure the person is actually fine. That is spirit-led emotion. That's a spirit-led emotion. I don't even mind this fellow. But you find yourself after minding the person and drawing to the person. And it normally happens in discipleship as well. There's this disciple, you have made up your mind that, oh, you just forget about the person. You forget. Then a lead of the Spirit, a witness of God telling you, don't leave this person. He's also showing up his head. Saying, you must be moved. So you see that no matter how even this disciple supposedly misbehaves, I'm telling you, it's very, very spiritual. You can't seem to let them go. You can't seem to let them go. You can't. You just allow. You say, okay, Gala. But there's something that draws you back again. You look at them and you are filled with that. This person needs to get what I'm telling this person. This person needs to get what I'm telling this person. This person needs to get it. This person needs to get it. This person has to get what I'm saying. And these are spirit-inspired emotions. And they are witnesses. They attest. But how they show themselves is in emotion. That emotion is the attesting. It's the yes or no answer to it. So, in Numbers chapter 27, verse 15, my last but one scripture, 27:15-17. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of all spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in. That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. When you look at people who are lost, these are people who are not born again. That heart is not natural. It is very supernatural. You have a disciple. The disciple is not really responding. But you see them and you feel like this person is about to be destroyed, my God. It's like a sheep without a shepherd. They were scattered. In Ezekiel 34 verse 5 is where actually, you know, I believe the Lord read and he makes a coining out of Matthew 9:35, Ezekiel 34, 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. They became beasts. They became meat to all the beasts of the field. They were troubled. So, the first spirit-inspired emotion we're going to end with, I mean, we're ending with, is compassion. We're going to look at more. I'm sure I can stay on this for like 6 months or maybe 3 months and we break. Because this is needed. Your whole life, you need it. Your whole life. So the next time you see someone, you're moved with compassion. Don't take it as just you feeling something in your heart. No. God is actually leading you. He wants to do something, right? He wants to work his purpose in the situation. He wants to work his purpose in what the person is going through. He wants to work his purpose in what the person is experiencing. He wants to work his purpose. Sometimes his purpose might be you pouring out some encouragement, you giving out a word, you getting to the person and drawing closer, you seeing what you can do best to help the person. There's certain people I met, and because I sort of like have an understanding to some of these things, I see people, and not everybody is the same. There's some people, you see them and you just see them normally. Yeah, you just see them and you see them normally. And there are some people, you see them and there's this drawing. Yes, it almost makes you treat them differently and separately. It's not the man of God, because the man of God is the vessel, and you, the man of God, you are the vessel. So these are spirit-inspired emotions. And these are going to be witnesses. Witnesses. The yes or no is in the compassion to a situation, to a person, to God's plan of souls not saved. Sometimes you should be able to sleep and think, hey, your heart should be moved with compassion for souls not saved. I believe there are times Jesus looked upon cities and he wept, because he saw gross darkness enveloping many people. Do you see cities and you weep? These are spirit-inspired emotions. And that weeping leads you to doing something about it. You pray, you start taking evangelism seriously, you start discipleship. It leads you to fulfilling God's plan on the earth. And I believe strongly that you are responding and you are yielding in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there's much clarity that comes to us. It's touching the inward witness. In Jesus' name, amen.